Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Las Musas podcast. My name is Alexandra Alessandri, and I am the author of Feliz New Year, Eva Gabriela, illustrated by Adi Rivera Sonda, and published by Albert Whitman and Company, and Isabel and Her Colores Go to School, illustrated by Courtney Dawson, and published by Sleeping Bear Press. Today, I'm joined by Ana Siqueira and Sara Gonzalez Wang. And today, on this episode of Debut Diaries, the picture book edition, we'll be talking about crafts. Ana, can you start us off by introducing yourself and telling us a little bit about your book?
Okay, well, my name is Ana Siqueira, and my book coming out now July 13th, almost together with Alexandra, July 15th, right? And with Donna, that is also July 13th, is Bea's Recipe for Success, Beaming Books, illustrated by Geraldine Rodriguez. And I have another book coming in 2022 called If Your Babysitter is a Bruja, and 2023, Abuela's Super Capa. 2022, The Bruja is illustrated by Irina Freitas, Simon Kids. And the 2023, the Abuela Super Capa, illustrated by Elisa Chavari and HarperCollins. Very excited about the illustrations of both books, of all three books. And there it is. It's about Bea. It's all about a growth mindset and learning that it's okay to make mistakes.
Yes. And it's so beautiful. I love it so much. And I can't wait to be able to share it with everybody.
Oh, thank you. I haven't seen, did I see Isabella's? Yeah, I did, right? You sent me an art.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't remember.
I don't remember either. I have to double check. Okay, so awesome. Let's hear about Sara.
Sara, what about you? Can you start? Can you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your books?
Sure. I'm Sara Gonzalez Wang, and I am the author and illustrator of A New Kind of Wild, which came out with Dial Books last year. It's about Ren, who moves from Puerto Rico to the city, which in my mind is New York, but I never actually say, and has to figure out how he can feel at home again after leaving the mountains of Puerto Rico, which is so different than New York. And he meets Ava, who lives in his building, and she does not understand how he can't see that the city is awesome. And so she helps him start to be able to see that there's magic in the city as well as his home in Puerto Rico, where he's from. So that's A New Kind of Wild. And then I also have a book coming out this year in September, September 7th, called Mi Casa is My Home. It was written by Loren Sala, and it's coming out with Candlewick. And it is just the sweetest story of Lucia, who basically invites you into her home and shows you around her casa, and you get to meet her family and her dog and go into all the different rooms, and it's just really sweet, and I had such a fun time illustrating it. Those are my books.
I'm so excited for it, and I loved A New Kind of Wild also.
I love it.
It's absolutely beautiful, both the illustrations and the story.
Beautiful.
Thank you. That's so sweet.
really looking forward to Mi Casa is
It's so funny home. That I reviewed both books. I reviewed yours and the reviews are still.
I know.
Yeah.
And you were so sweet about it too.
I love it. I love it. It's beautiful. Beautiful. Illustrations. So amazing.
That's a good jumping off point to what's your process like? Are you a pantser or a plotter? And Zara, do you write the text first, you have the drawings first, and tell me a little bit about the process.
Okay, I'll go first. I am a pantser in everything that I do. In writing, I just write, and usually my first draft is horrible, and I am just writing to get through to the end. I have no clue where the story is going typically, and I just try and get something out. And then really my story comes together through many, 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 many drafts that I revise. And I would say that as an illustrator, I'm a similar way. I don't necessarily always have an idea of what I'm doing. I am very fond of keeping sketchbooks. And so I just, a lot of times when I'm thinking of a character or a story or something like that, I will just be doodling in my sketchbook and all of a sudden a character will come out and I'll realize that this character is, you know, whatever character I'm trying to figure out. But it's definitely a more organic process. I have no real like set things except for spending time in my sketchbook. Yeah, so that's kind of my process. Is no process. I just
and I love that because there's that sense of discovery. I think I am a little bit of both with picture with both. I am naturally a plotter, but that and I think that's just a trying to get that control. I need to know what's going to happen before I dive in. But there's also room for elaborating, room for deviating, room for just that exploration. But I kind of envy a little bit being able to be a pantser.
Just because, it takes a million times longer.
I know.
Wish I had some structure to things. I feel like because I think that like it's, I think in some ways it's like naivety, right? Naivete, whatever that word is. Like I didn't go to school for writing or anything like that. So I just like, I have no clue what the rules are. So I just have to like dive in and then I try and like tack those on as I go back through.
I think there's kind of magic in just that exploring because you're witnessing the story as it's developing. Yes. What about you, Anna?
I used to be a pantser. When I started, I was a pantser and I had to do 1,000 revisions for each one. I would start.
It takes like, much longer.
I would start like with 2,000 words, and it was. I enjoyed the process, but when I started plotting, you know, and trying to have really an idea where the story goes, you don't have all the details, of course, but at least like what's going to be the beginning, the middle, and the end, you know. And for me now, I cannot sit down and write the whole story unless I have the whole. Everything in my mind. I said, okay, that's going to be the beginning. That's how it's going to end. That's the solution. At least like an outline. I need to have kind of an outline. So sometimes it takes me 3-4 months to sit down and write that story because it's in my mind. And the bad thing about it, Sarah, is that you have so many stories in my mind marinating right now that I can never stop thinking because I tried to write a chapter book and I have like 3 or 4 picture books all here in my mind. And I'm looking and always trying to read and find more information so I can finalize the process in my brain. And then I sit down and write. I still revise a lot, but I revise much less now that I'm being a plotter. Yeah, and now I don't think I can go back to be a pantser.
But Anna, so, that's I'm sorry.
No, I was just gonna say, Anna just you know, she's talked about everything marinating in her head, and I have like I don't necessarily do that, but I definitely like have a running file of all of these picture book ideas that just pop into my head as I'm going around. But I find, and I don't know if this is because I'm a pantser or just like a total, I like to call it a procrastinator. So no matter what I'm supposed to be working on, some other idea that I'm not supposed to be working on will just like take up residence in my yes. mind. And then I have to like deal with that one before I can get back to what I'm doing. So when Anna was talking about how everything's marinated in our mind, I was wondering if you did that as well, Anna.
Yes, yes. But I'm normally working in 4 or 5 projects at the same time. You know, so like one day
That's
I said,
impressive.
Okay, I'm going to work on this one. I'm going to work. So right now I probably have 4 or 5 that I'm working, plus 2 or 3 ideas that I just hear in my mind. So, yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah. I can't work on multiple picture book projects at one time, but I can work on a novel project and a picture book at the same time. It's really weird. In terms of picture books, I have to have it done and off my plate before I can dive into another one. But Zara, I do have the same issue too, that sometimes I have these other projects that are like, hello, work on me, and I have to write it down somewhere so that I can get back to it and keep working on what I'm working on. But
yeah. It's interesting. Oh, I was just going to say, you said you can work on a novel and a picture book at the same time. I don't write novels. Yeah, maybe someday. But But I can't, I, because I'm an illustrator as well, I can be illustrating a picture book while I'm writing a picture book, but I can't be writing two picture books at the same time. I have to be focused on one or the other.
I can
understand that. That's similar. So kind of, I guess I'm curious now, in terms of process, does your process differ from middle grade to picture book or chapter book, or if you're writing and or illustrating something else? Like, I know for me in picture books, I do a lot of the plotting in freestyle, free writing. I have a lot of notebooks that I kind of hash out what if, or maybe this happens, or I ask a lot of questions and just trying to get a rough idea of the arc, I guess, of the story, of the purpose of the character. And I write middle grade also and young adult. And with those projects, I have to more meticulously plot. I have outlines, more traditional outlines in sections. And then I start writing small synopses for each chapter as I go along. And so I have like this whole different process. They're both kind of plotting, but I guess in different ways. Anna, I think you were saying you write, you're
I'm trying to, I'm trying to write chapter books. And what the difference that I see, what I like about picture books is like, I share a manuscript with you and you said, what if you put that in a different set? Or what if the character is a different age or whatever? I said, well, I'll try, you know, I'm always flexible to try. I will write or write on second person. I will write a new version. Maybe I'll like it, maybe I won't, or maybe. So you always, it's so flexible. You can write like, oh, let me write a completely different version with a different whatever setting or whatever. And chapter book, my chapter books are not big. You're going to be early chapter book. But for me, it's like, oh my gosh, I have to rewrite this whole thing nowadays.
It's very different.
You know, it's still so in the thousands of words instead of the hundreds of words.
I know. So, you know, I said, oh my gosh, I have to rewrite. I was in this group. They said, what if you do this? I said, oh my gosh, now I'm going to have to rewrite the whole thing. So it is much harder, you know, for you to, if you change a little thing here, you have to change the whole manuscript. And it's longer. And I feel that even though I try to plot, maybe because I don't have experience enough, I'm still changing a lot as I go. And so I said, okay, I'm gonna have 10 chapters. When I say I have 12, I said, oh my gosh, now I have to. So, you know, I'm still not there yet with the chapter book, with the plotting and everything. And I think it's harder because it's not that easier to just rewrite the whole thing.
Yeah, it does take a lot more to rewrite several thousand words than several hundred. But it can be done. I've started from scratch with novels, shed a few tears and then went for it. Sarah, you don't write in other genres yet, right? I think that's what
not yet. I mean, I have some ideas for a chapter book series that I want to try. But I'm afraid of it because, you know, like Anna was saying, it's longer and I'm not as familiar with it as chapter books. I feel like I need to do a lot more, or as picture books, I feel like I need to do a lot more reading in the chapter book genre to start to become more comfortable, because that actually, you know, we're talking about craft. And when I started writing picture books, one of the things that really helped me was reading and dissecting other people's picture books and picture books that I really admired. And I want to get into chapter books, but I haven't taken that step to really dive in and dissect other people's chapter books yet. And I think that that's something that hopefully will help me kind of get a feel for how they sound, because that's the thing that I'm looking for. Is I'm looking for how can I make a chapter book sound like the thing that I want to write? I know that sounds weird, but
I hear it. Yeah, it is, right? And the problem with us, like when you get used to picture book, I don't know how you can, Alexandra, write YA and that, because we get used to cut all the words, the minimal words possible, no description. And then you go to the chapter book and say, okay, now you have to describe. Now you have to. And for me, it's so hard because I'm used to very fast pacing. So my chapter books are always too much stuff going on. So I have to go back and, you know, so always when I send to my critique partners, tell me where I need more description, where things are not clear, you know. I think I'm getting the hang of it, but it takes a while. It takes a while to get the hang of it. You have to start doing it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. The way that you get better at anything is just by trying it and like, then sending it to people that you trust and getting feedback and then trying again. But I just haven't taken that step yet. I'm still in the like nervous, not quite ready to try phase.
But it's super fun.
It is
super fun writing chapter books because then you can add more adventures and more descriptions and, you know, dialogues and the characters. You really can develop the characters. So it's super fun.
Each type of story has its own unique challenges and beauty. So you'll get there. You'll get there. Definitely mentor texts are important for both the picture books and chapter books and YA and middle grade. I actually started with YA and then worked my way to picture books and then to middle.
And you have to find where you fit, right?
Yeah.
You have to find what's comfortable.
And each, like I said, each genre has its own set of really great things to work with.
But you teach high school, right?
I teach college.
Can write YA. I teach elementary, so for me all my ideas,
everything is
very little kids. I cannot think of an idea for YA or even middle grade. I can't.
Zara, do you write your text first or do you illustrate first or do
interesting
you,
question
or do something else or yeah, is it different?
Interesting. So I for A New Kind of Wild, I wrote the text first, although it was funny because I was just doodling and I was sketching and listening to some music. And then all of a sudden this idea popped into my head and I like turned around because I had two different desks that were right in beside. So I just turned my chair around and I started like furiously writing. And that was the first draft of A New Kind of Wild, although it was completely different. But then after I did that, I had to revise and get the words right before I could go back and do the dummy. You know, a lot of illustrators either make the pictures or find a character first, or like maybe they'll draw something, they're like, oh, there's a story there. I've tried working that way, it does not work for me. The story that I'm working on now that I'm trying to revise and write, that one kind of came to me in a combination where like I had some of the words and then I started doing some dummying on index cards, which is a little trick that James Sturm, who's a cartoonist, I took a retreat in Vermont at the College of Cartoon Studies, I think it's called, CCS. But anyways, it's a really cool place in Vermont. But anyways, that's technique that he uses to just like get things down on index cards. And I find it very freeing because, you know, they're really small. You can't really be very detailed and you can just toss them out or you can like rearrange them. So, I mean, in some ways, I guess it's probably like people who use index cards for writing books, because I know that some people like do their plotting or whatever on index cards. So it's essentially that only with pictures. That's awesome. I've been messing around with that a little bit.
That's so cool. That is really, really cool.
It's fun.
How about your process when you're illustrating a text that you receive?
Oh, so when I illustrate a text that I've received from somebody else, the first thing that I do is just read it a million times. And I try and just let myself feel whatever images come as I'm reading through it. Because usually I'll have some, I don't know, impressions of like color or character or scenes as I'm reading it. Because that actually, like when I accept a manuscript, when I read it the first couple times, it has to like speak to me in some way. Okay. So I have to start being able to see the story before I accept something, because I want to, you know, I have to be super invested in it. It's, you know, 6 months to a year of my life. So I want to make sure that whatever the story is really is resonating with me. And so as I read it, if I can, I start to visualize it and then I start doing little doodles in the margins. And then a lot of times, well, sometimes I'll do the characters first before I do the layouts, but sometimes I'll just kind of try and get some of the scenes and the, you know, how I see the characters kind of like interacting before I figure out who the characters are, because it's essentially, I'm getting to know the characters as I'm sketching them, right? So I just, you have to keep reading and then like just dive into the kind of the minds and the lives of this particular character. And so I do that through sketching, a lot of sketching, just drawing pictures that make it into the book and pictures that don't make it into the book that are just there to like help me know the character. I guess like if I was gonna equate it to a writing metaphor, it's like when you do free writing, you know, to try and figure out the character, essentially I'm doing the same thing, except I'm drawing. So I'm working in pictures rather than words. But I think it is an interesting parallel to the writing process, because it's essentially like I'm writing in pictures. And so there is a process to that that's very similar to writing in words, I think.
And that's fascinating for me, because it's true. There's a lot, and even for both picture books and the novels, there's all this writing that goes into either in free writing in notebooks or in paragraphs as, you know, character sketches or things in where you're trying to figure out the characters and the world and, you know, the story. So it's fascinating that there is that parallel.
Yeah, one thing that I definitely do that I think is super useful is I have sketchbooks for each book. And so like a lot of my notes and just explorations and stuff like that, they happen in these sketchbooks.
Mm-hmm. Same.
And I think it's really useful to have kind of like a writer's notebook, except it's my, you know,
a sketchbook. So to art note or to not art note? That is the question. So as writers, how can we leave space for the illustrator? Because as writers, we can't draw. I would love to draw. I doodle and I draw. It's just not, that's not my strength. And I know that when I'm writing, but when I am writing, I think visually. So when I am writing, I do write with, when I'm writing the first draft, actually sitting down and writing it down, I do write visualizing what the art might look like, where those spaces might be, how much is too much in terms of writing it down. And personally, I try not to include art notes unless absolutely necessary, unless it's something that is necessary to understand the world, the context, the setting. Sometimes it's just a small note at the beginning. But I try very hard not to include art notes, because I want the illustrator to be able to have that, just have the story as it stands and let them do their magic.
Yes, I normally, what I do, I write a lot of art notes for my critique partners, because otherwise they will be like, what is going on here? I don't understand. So I write a lot of art notes, like when I'm just doing manuscript swaps or working with my critique partner. And then my agent and I would try to remove as much artwork as we can. It, of course, it depends on the book. The book that I wrote about the Bruja is all about the girl is saying something, but something else is going on. So I kind of have to put the art note, even though my illustrator changed it completely and I was okay with it. But, you know, I was saying like she was the Bruja threw her in the twisted torre and it was just like a slide, you know, or something like that. So I had to put that, so the illustrator would have an idea what was going on. And she, in some parts, she made changes and I love it. Her illustrations are so fun. So, you know, but I do put some art notes, but not that much. I don't put like, she's dressed with a blue dress or the tree has pink flowers, nothing like that, you know. But sometimes if I feel like they won't understand, but it's kind of a suggestion. But normally I would have about 60 words in art notes or something like that. So, but, you know, I'm open to changes, just basically for me, like to be able to understand. I think I also write a lot with unreliable narrators, but I don't know. Let me hear from Sarah. What does she fix? One day I work with her.
I think you guys are approaching art notes in the right way. I was just going to say, like Anna was saying, to me, an art note is a suggestion. You know, if you know, if it's in there, I will take it into account, but I may not necessarily do what it says, unless I feel like it's absolutely important to the plot of the story. You know, so as an example, like this is an art note that would absolutely need to be there. So like say in like one scene, there's a tablecloth on the table, right? And you write that the tablecloth is red. And the reason that the tablecloth has to be red is later in the book, you're taking that tablecloth off the table and using it as a, I don't know what they're called, the cape for the bull, you know, in bullfighting or something like that. So there's a reason for the cape, the tablecloth to be red that is relevant to the plot of the story. So that's an art note that makes sense, right? Because I wouldn't necessarily know that that tablecloth needed to be red. So I think like if it's something like that, if it's something that's important to the, or like there's a book that I read recently where it's about a blanket, I think, and the blanket turns into like a vest and then it turns into like a bow tie, or, you know, it just keeps getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And I think like, depending on how the story was written, like that may or may not have been clear. And so like having an art note that says, you know, that this thing is changing might have been necessary. But like generally, I think that the fewer art notes you can put in, the better, just because it allows, you know, me as an illustrator to let my imagination run wild and try and figure out, you know, what the secondary story is. And honestly, like, I love books that are super vague, like where like, honestly, like I have no clue what's going on, like, you know, because it's all dialogue or like whatever, where I really have to be like, okay, what is this place? Where is the place that I'm like, we're grounding these characters? Like, cause that's just, it allows for really rich world building from a visual perspective. But that's just fun. You know, different books call for different things, and sometimes more art notes are needed. And sometimes, I mean, sometimes even the publisher has specific ideas about things. They want things a certain way. And I think that's fine. It's just like, you know, as an illustrator, it's fun to have freedom. And so like the art notes can be restrictive, but also can be really great, because sometimes they suggest things that then send my mind in a completely, you know, different direction, because you might have an idea for something that's not obvious from the text, but just by saying, you know, maybe blah, you know, whatever it is, that can send my mind running. And I may not do whatever it is that you say, but that might spark an idea that causes an even better idea. So I'm always open to that sort of collaboration, as long as it's not super restrictive, right? If you write an art note, it should be something that's opening doors rather than closing them, I guess.
I love that. And I think a lot of times when I do have something in terms of an art note, I do usually phrase it, maybe it's, or perhaps it could be, or, you know, things like that, that, you know, imply suggestion. But I do really love the idea of the illustrator just running their magic through it. And I want to say that sometimes you can submit your manuscript with art notes to your editor, but they remove all the art notes before they submit it to the illustrator. I know that happened.
That's also true
with me. So it might be good for your editor to see where you're coming from, but then they'll give a copy of that manuscript without art notes to the art director.
I mean, I think like the only bad thing about art notes is if you literally put art notes on every single thing.
Yeah. Cause then you're, I mean, and it, as a writer, it is scary. I know. I think, I guess the first time it was a little bit scarier than the second time. You're trusting this book, this idea, this story that you've lived with for so long to somebody to give it life. And it is a little scary kind of giving up that control. I've been lucky both times, and I'm like, do with it what you will, because I know that that they're going to be amazing. So I've the illustrators have done such a wonderful job with my stories.
I think too, as long as you and your editor are on the same page about like what the picture book is and, you know, how it should feel, then, I mean, they're really looking for the illustrator that's going to bring that to life. So hopefully you don't have to be afraid, because if you trust your editor, you know, and your art director, then I think that, you know, that helps a lot.
If you were to say, what is your weakness or what is your strength when writing, what would you say? What do you think when it comes to picture book writings? Do you have strengths? Do you have weaknesses?
Yes, for me, my weakness is that I put too much into my stories. I really like action, and I'm very like packed with action. So I put a lot of stuff, you know? So I think that's what I've been trying to work on. Really, like, I heard that, what's her name? Patty. I don't know how to pronounce her name, but she said something that I really now use for like to try to really find the theme of my story. So she said, I always do like, my story is about plot. What's the plot about? Oh, it's about a girl who wants to bake, but she makes a disaster of everything. And then you think, okay, but it's really about what? So my book is really about growth mindset, right? Or trying again and not making mistakes. So then I really try to focus my story on that theme and not going, you know, with too many problems, too many things going on. So that's what I trying to work on that. So I always, after I write my first draft, I go and see, okay, that really is not related to the team, or this is not taking the story anywhere and things like that. So that's how I try to work. And now I'm having a really hard time with chapter book, because you have more freedom to write more. So like, I was reading my story once with my critique group, and they would say, oh my gosh, you have like 5 books in there. You can write 5 books with all the ideas that you put in this book. So now that's what I'm doing. All the ideas that I had, I'm writing a book, because I had
that. What a great way to get your series though.
Yeah, they said you already have a series, because there's so many things going on there.
Which, you know, I think is good for chapter books, because I know that chapter books and series are very appealing for kids. Mm-hmm. And so,
yeah, so that is my weakness, and that's how I'm trying to work on it. And I think my strength is, well, a lot of plot. It's the same thing, this trip. A lot of tension. I like to write with a lot of humor and heart and attention. So I really like to do the page turners. I think that's a good tip. Always try to think of your spread, like for to leave something hanging, like the people say, okay, what's gonna happen next? So I really try to like, and another thing that I really think is a good tip for you to do is to paginate. I don't do dummies, because I cannot draw. I'm too lazy to be cutting and pasting the stuff. I don't like anything manual. So what I do, I just paginate. Then on my manuscript, I'll put the pages. I think that helps a lot for you to see, like, if you have too much stuff going on in one page, you know, and you can cut. And it can help with the page turners and trying to add attention, you know. So I always try to write short sentences. That's how you add tension. You can write very short sentences and be like, oh, Alexandra is going into the room. The room is dark. She sees something moving. You know, you don't just say, Alejandra entering the room and saw something. You know, you have to make shorter sentences and then leave a page turner. And then she hears, ah! Then, of course, you're going to have to go to the next page, you know, to see what happened while she was here. So that is
it was a bee.
Yeah, maybe a roach for me. It would be a roach. Probably. Like my house, nobody cares when I yell, because they always think it's a roach. Just said if one day something else happens, you know, nobody's going to come save me or anything. Mm-hmm. So I think that's one of my strengths. That's my tip, how to add tension.
I love that. I love that. And it's funny that you mentioned page turns. I actually think page turns are one of my strengths, and I definitely pay attention to the structure. And when I write my drafts, I always write them with the paginations, because I need to see where visually where how much and where each part of the story is. And I love playing with those page turns to create tension. Same thing. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I would say that that's probably true for middle grade and chapter endings for chapter books, middle grade. In terms of weakness, I think one of my weaknesses is plot, and I tend to write too slim, where
we have to be partners.
Yeah. So I write just to get the story, but it's usually just, it almost always needs more development. And I like spare text, but for whatever reason, every time I try to write spare text, I get the response of, you need more. You need to add more. We need more tension, more information. And so usually, and I say usually because my first book is Feliz New Year, Eva Gabriela, was the complete opposite. That draft was over 1,000 words long, and I had to cut it and cut it. And it's still longer than what my normal is. I usually start around 200-300 words. Wow. And then I have to build on that.
I start with 1,000. Then I have to cut.
Oh. So, and cutting, I think I've gotten to be good at letting go of darlings. And sometimes it's just a mind trick of opening up a blank document and everything that I cut, put it on that mm-hmm. document.
That's a good tip. So that
if I ever want to go back to it, I can. Mm-hmm. I hardly ever go back to it. So it's just
me neither. Really, I always keep like the older versions. I said, okay, I'm gonna cut this. My critique partners are telling me that I should cut it. I will cut, but I will leave my older version. So if I really, and then I'm never go back. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's good that you know you have it.
I think it's just a comfort. Yeah, it's a sense of safety.
Yeah.
I do the same thing. I copy and paste mine down at the bottom of my document so that if I need it, I just go back and find it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about you? Strengths and weaknesses.
Oh gosh, I have so many weaknesses. I still feel like I'm a very new writer. You know, I'm still figuring everything out. And I think my weakness is probably like plot and like story arc, in the sense that like sometimes I have multiple story arcs, but I need somebody else to point that out to me. Like a lot of times, instead of having an arc, I have like a seagull. Like, you know, those bird silhouettes where like, they're like two arcs. Yeah. Anyway, that's how a lot of my stories are. I'm just practicing, you know. I read other people's books. Show my stories to other people and get help that way. But it's really, I think, figuring out how to plot is just writing and rewriting some more.
Yes.
And then I think the other thing that I struggle with is endings.
Yes.
how do you tie everything up in a way that's satisfying, but not like cliche, right?
Yes.
And I think I tend to like default to like really like simple endings, in the sense that like the ending for A New Kind of Wild is just, and this time he could see it. And then like this new story that I'm writing, it's kind of like the same thing. It's like, and she's saying louder than everybody else or something like that. And like, I just like.
Simple endings. I love simple
endings.
Because it gives room for the illustrations.
Yes.
Because the illustrations are such a big part of the ending.
I think it's mostly illustration for the ending. I think so. It's like a sentence or two.
And I love those. Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe I'll just use the excuse that I'm an illustrator and that's why I write simple endings. But and then like strengths. I think one strength is that because I'm an illustrator, I feel like I understand the rhythm of a picture book fairly well, how it should begin and how the middle should be. And I know that seems counterintuitive because I said that I'm bad at story arcs and plot, but like I feel like writing something like that is different than like, at least like,
the visual. Like,
yeah. And I think too, like, I get the rhythm, I think, right, but not necessarily in the right places. But I don't know. But I like language, and I like listening to words. And I hope that is one of my strengths. Like, I feel like lyrical writing is something that I'm really drawn to, both in my own work and also in other people's work. And so those are the things that really excite me. And I think like that's important to me in a picture book, is for it to sound right. And for me, the way that I do that is that I just read it over and over and over again out loud, to myself, to other people. If you walked into my house while I was revising a story, you would think that I was crazy because I would be talking to myself. But that's the only way that I can figure out the words that fit in the story, because I mean, picture books are meant to be read out loud. So yes. Sometimes I feel like if it's not working and I'm just reading it, not out loud, just reading it, if I can read it out loud, then I can hear what's wrong with it. And sometimes it's just a matter, I don't know if any of you guys do this, but like for me, sometimes it's a matter of like literally opening the dictionary or thesaurus and like yes. trying to find the word that sounds
yes.
the way that I want it to. Not rhyming. I don't write rhyming picture books, but just like yeah. that has the yeah, sound the, that
the,
I want.
The
like,
right sound, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I do that a lot too.
Yeah. And I poetry is the thing that I've written the longest. And so it's everything that you said about language and reading it out loud is 100% like it's the same. A lot of times the words that I choose has a more to do with sound.
Yes.
Than with other parts.
Yeah,
of,
totally.
And it is. Poetry and picture books are meant to be read out loud.
I agree. I think like, I mean, I think that picture books are basically like poetry. Oh. It's like visual poems.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
And I think I've always loved poetry, and so that's probably another reason that picture books resonate with yeah. me so much.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Do you also sometimes ask somebody to read for you? Because I like doing that with my critique group. I have one that is once a month, and they always read the story for me. Because when they are reading, I said, oops, no, that's not working. So that I read it, for me, it's working. But if somebody else reads it, I can say, oh, no, she stumbled on this word, or this sounds too long, or, you know, or something.
I think, yeah, I absolutely think that's important as well, because, you know, you have somebody that is coming to your story that's new. They don't know all the quirks. They don't know where you're putting the emphasis. And while in the end, it needs to sound good for me, like mm-hmm. if I have multiple people read it and they stumble over the same place, then I know that there's something there that I need to fix, because I'm not the one that's always going to be reading it.
Yeah.
And it's been interesting having a new kind of wild out there, because, you know, especially because it came out during the pandemic, so many people were doing recorded readings. And so mm-hmm. I was able to watch other people read a new yeah. kind of wild. And it's so interesting, the things that they emphasize
yes.
over the things that I emphasize when I'm reading it. And so it's interesting, because it becomes a different story in somebody else's hands based on how they're reading it. And so, you know, I have my way of doing it, and so that's how I wrote it, so that it sounded right when I read it, but it also has to sound right when other people read it. Yes. So I think that it's, which that's is a so long true. Way of saying that, Anna, I think that is a good
that's
idea.
A great
I also do that.
Yes.
But don't do that, but I need to start doing that, because it is a very great idea. And yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, so we can real read quick, each other's book. We can just send it if you want. We can do that.
We'll get together like this, and then yes. we'll read each other's
A new critique right. group is formed.
Yes. So real quick, let's end with one quick tip or resource or book that listeners can take with them. Anna.
Okay, well, I read the famous one, the Anne, I cannot say her name.
Whitford Paul,
Writing Picture Books. And I think it's a great book, like when you're studying, and then when you're in the middle, read it again. Now I have to read it again, because there are always a lot of good tips there. Not that you have to follow rules or anything like that, but there are always very good tips that can help you a lot. And also the Pixar book. I'm going to read it, that one again. I love that book.
Which one's the Pixar book?
Pixar book is about storytelling. I think the name is Storytelling from Pixar.
Oh, I have to look at that.
Yes, and it's fun because it's all about scenes and visual and things. So it's, I have to read it again because I read when I started. So now I'm in a different level that I have to read it again. So I think those two books I recommend.
I think I don't know if this is the name of the book, but the Pixar thing, they also have like something like the 22 rules of story or something like that. And that's really good. For me, I have a couple things. So there's this book by Gail Carson Levine called Writing Magic. It's actually, I think, a middle grade focused book, but I find it really great for people like me who are really new to writing, because she just writes in a way that's accessible to kids, right? Well, I consider myself a kid when it comes to writing. So I find this book kind of like a really great little handbook for me to work through in ways that are not academic. I find like a lot of writing books like a little bit too academic for me. Like they talk about like plots and characters, like just in a way that's really, really dry and hard. But this book is so engaging.
What's the author again?
Her name is Gail Carson Levine. It's called Writing Magic.
Okay.
And I really like it. She wrote Ella Enchanted, but just the way that she wrote this book just really speaks to me as a fledgling writer. And then another one that I really like is Mary Oliver's A Poetry Handbook, because again, I think picture books are like poetry, and I find that reading about poetry and writing poetry in, or writing kind of poetry and translating it into picture books is just a good exercise for rhythm and language and figuring all that stuff out. So I look a lot to poetry, and Mary Oliver is a great poet. And her poems, I feel like, really tell stories. So I think that it's really useful. And then my last tip is that whether you're an illustrator or an author, I think that you should keep some kind of notebook, some sort of writing notebook, either, you know, for just what I will call writing sketches, you know, just little exercises that you do for yourself, or, you know, for if you're an illustrator, like drawing pictures, doing doodles, doing landscapes, you know, just like trying to figure things out. And I, specifically for illustrators, I feel that I have improved so much by having a sketchbook to record, you know, colors that I am resonating with, or, you know, trying different things. Sometimes I'm, you know, backgrounds used to scare me a lot. And then I started drawing backgrounds in my sketchbook. And then I just got familiar, and I found my language to do that through writing in my, or drawing in my sketchbook. And I think that it's just a really great way of developing your style, your voice. And I think it's the same with writing in a notebook as well. So that's another tip that I think is really important.
Absolutely. And then both of you have mentioned some really, really great, important things too. And I guess I'm just going to piggyback on something. I was going to say the poetry thing, but learning about other genres actually is really helpful. I think writing informs writing. And the more you write, the more you try to get discipline in fostering ideas, the more ideas will come, the better you'll get at different writings and poetry books. I use The Poet's Companion. I don't remember right now who it's by, but for the same reasons. And it has prompts plus information about poetry. I do a lot of memoir writing. A lot of personal writing, free writing, which is how I come up with a lot of the ideas for my books. Old Friend from Far Away by Natalie Goldberg is about the practice of writing memoir. But they have a lot of prompts that are very specific, and some that tap into childhood memories, which brings ideas. There was something else that I was going to say, but just really it was that writing informs writing. The more you can learn about your genre, but also other genres, I think it goes a long way. Oh, and get plugged in with critique groups. Story Storm by Tara Lazar has been also another. I love prompts. Story Storm has been really a huge influence and a big part of both Feliz New Year and Isabel and Her Colores. And yeah. So I think we're reaching here the end. If you'd like to learn more about Las Musas or our books, please visit our website at lasmusasbooks.com or find us on social media at Las Musas Books. And be sure to check out our bookshop page, where each purchase of one of our books goes towards supporting independent bookstores. If you've enjoyed this episode, please like, review, and subscribe, whether you listen to your podcast, wherever you listen to your podcast. You can also sign up for Las Musas newsletter to have podcast updates, as well as other Musa news, such as release dates, teasers, spotlights, and more delivered straight to your inbox. Thanks for listening.